Blog Talk Radio.
When the money tree in the backyard isn't working for you anymore and you're pounding the pavement desperately looking for that job to put food on your table, how can you possibly think of wealth creation when your survival skills just aren't doing the trick? Or perhaps you're looking for a few good tips to help you save up for your child's college education or your own retirement. What do you do? Who do you turn to? Well, I want you to hold on, stay tuned, and help may just be on the way with our special guest, financial planning expert Lurie Davis. Today, live on Focus on Empowerment, I am Carol Copeland-Thomas, and we welcome you to today's show. Welcome, everybody. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment on this summer July day. We have an exciting show planned for you, and I want you to get your pens out, get your calculators, get a piece of paper out. You can write down some of the important information that's going to be shared by our financial planner, Lurie Davis, in just a few minutes. We also want to invite you to go to our website at any time, www.msfconnect.com. Still have our membership campaign going strong, and we welcome all of our new members who have signed up to become a part of the Multicultural Symposium Series. Johanda Rogers, Dr. Karen Craddock, and Lisa Hamlin have just signed up, and we want you to join up as well. Also, really excited about the comments that continue to come in with our blog postings, and you can go to our website again and sign up and get some of the blog entries that go out every week. Excited, too, because our website is going to change face and will look really nice, cool. Certainly in the next couple of weeks, we're going to relaunch our website in the month of August. So we have a lot of really good things coming up in store for each and every one of you. Our webinar will take place on July 28th, and that's for members only. So you can learn more about that at www.msfconnect.com. Also, you can send me an email at tellcarole, T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E, at mac.com, or give me a call at 508-947-5755. Well, one of the things I struggle with all the time, and I think maybe some of you struggle with this as well, are really finances. And after the segment, we're going to talk about World Cup. We'll do a final piece on World Cup at the very end of the show. But we want to talk about finance and how much we need to really concentrate on our financial future, our financial arrangements, certainly in the next couple of weeks or months. We know that the economy, wherever you happen to live, isn't what it used to be. So with that all in mind, I want to bring on financial expert Lurie Davis to give us some tips and techniques that we need to talk about and share as we're looking at our own households, our bank accounts, and our future. Hello, Lurie. Welcome to the show.
Hello there, Carol.
I'm just glad to have you on. I wanted to ask you, when it comes to credit cards, now we have banking laws in the United States that are changing as we speak. Many things are going to be done differently. It's going to impact not just the financial institutions in this country, but the consumers as well. There may be more opportunities for people to get a discount if they pay with a debit card or cash, as is now done with gasoline stations, and that may happen with some of our retailers. So do you have any tips or suggestions for those who are just gearing up for what may happen with these bills that are going to be changing with our credit cards and debit cards, Lurie?
Yes, I do, Carol. First of all, when it comes to the credit card companies, I always say the first tip that I could possibly give to any household that is dealing with any credit card issue, first of all, is to take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Relax. Calm yourself down. That's the first tip. The second is communication. It is so critical that you communicate with your creditor. Mm-hmm. A lot of individuals, they decide that the best thing to do is to take the statement and just throw it to the side and think that it's going to resolve itself. But that's probably one of the worst things that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get on the phone. You want to have a conversation. So that conversation is so important to talk with the creditor. But when you have that conversation, you also want to listen, because there are some real important changes that recently took place within the credit card industry overall.
Right.
One of the biggest is being able to see on your credit card bill what amount of time it is going to take you to pay off a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it was a shock to a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
When they saw those numbers and the number of years that it's going to take to pay off some of those credit card bills.
Mm-hmm.
I would say have that conversation with the credit card company and try to work out a reasonable solution. If by any chance you've talked to the credit card company and you still feel that you have not received the kind of resolution that you would want to have, the third step.
Yeah.
Oh, go right ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead. I'll ask you.
I was going to say that the third step is to go to a higher level of management. You want to always ask to speak to a supervisor, a manager. But let's say you've spoken to the supervisor or the manager, and you still haven't gotten the resolve that you wanted to receive.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate option is to really go in, research that particular company itself,
mm-hmm.
that credit card company. Go in. The internet has made it possible to go in and find all of the higher level executives of the firm.
Mm-hmm.
Get those names. Find out where the home office is located.
Mm-hmm.
Call into the main telephone number. Let's say they're in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay.
You can call the operator for Baltimore, Maryland, and ask specifically for that corporate entity.
Mm-hmm.
When you get that number, call and ask for the CEO of that firm, because you now have the name because you've done the research.
Right.
You now will be at the executive level of the firm, and you will get some answers.
Hmm. So what you're saying is that you have to really take control of your own account or accounts that you have. What about someone who may be behind in their credit card payments, and they're getting phone calls regularly or routinely from the credit card company or the collection agency? How would you handle those kind of matters, Larry Davis?
Okay. There's always a way in which you can communicate with the creditors, because remember, they want to resolve the issue as much as you want to resolve the issue. They want to get paid back.
Mm-hmm.
So if the interest rate is high, if you're finding that you're having trouble paying the bill, you can work out a resolution with most of the credit card companies, because they do have a debt management or department right there, or the credit counseling area of the corporation, where they will set up a plan for you. Even if you were going along and all of a sudden you've missed some payments, let's say you've missed 3, 4, 5 payments and you cannot pay because of your other monthly obligation and expenses, you
right.
can call directly into that area. They have credit counselors, and you could ask them, what would be the best approach for me to take with this right now? I want to pay you back, but unfortunately, the amount that you've set me up for, let's say it's $150, and you feel that with your budget, that is just high, and there's no way that you could possibly meet that obligation. You can reasonably set up a payment plan with the creditor. They might tell you that, okay, we're going to close out this account. You won't be able to use it anymore. We're going to set you up for this 5-year plan, but we'll set you up for this 5-year plan paying $60 on a monthly basis.
And that's a good approach, you're saying.
That's a great approach.
Good option.
That's an awesome, excellent option, I feel, because if you just don't do anything, you will really damage your credit profile.
Right. Right.
And that credit profile is so important, especially in the environment that we are in now, to have a great credit score.
So we're going to get back to that great credit score in a minute. I'm dealing with real questions based on real issues that are going out here with a lot of our listeners. What about the listener who is in their 50s or 60s? They have had a long career record, and they find themselves suddenly out of work. Now, I know this is happening with some people who I know across the country. What advice from a financial perspective would you give someone, again, who is a baby boomer, who is now facing unemployment and possibly long-term unemployment until they get their next engagement?
I believe that the period of time when you were in your 50s, when we look at this from a financial planner's perspective, we look at the different stages of one's life.
Right.
We have the 20s to the 30s. That period of time is looked at that time when you're really starting your family. You're getting into your first home. And then that critical period in your 50s, that period is really the time period when you're supposed to be maximizing your retirement contributions and your savings that you're putting aside for that ultimate retirement stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, like you've just stated, there are a lot of people. They might have been working for a corporate entity for 20, 30 years, and then they let go.
Right.
What you have to always do is to take control of your financial destiny and your financial future. You cannot wait on anything or anybody else or a corporate entity to decide and make the decisions for you. You have to be able to put yourself in a position to always have choices on your plate. So wherever you are right now and whatever the issues are, you can always plan.
So
and that's why we're...
Give us an example, let's say, of someone who's in their mid-50s or so and finds themselves in this predicament. Maybe they have some savings put away. Maybe they don't have as much as they want, but clearly they're facing not just their future, but they're looking at, after the unemployment runs out or whatever their severance pay happens to be, they're looking at some uncharted waters from a financial point of view.
That is correct. And I always look at whenever you've been fired or you've been let go of a job, somebody is tapping you on the shoulder and telling you, look, I have something better for you out there in the universe. But you have to be able to acknowledge that and reach out for it. Because let's say you're 50, you have your resources now are much smaller, but there are many things that you can now look at doing. You can start a business. You can become a small business owner. You can take some of these skills and the experience that you have and start a business.
Okay.
I would say that this is probably one of the areas that I always try to get a lot of my clients to reach for. If they've ever had any aspirations of owning a business, this would be a great time to do it.
Okay, so entrepreneurship would be one area. Probably another one would be those people who have those skill sets and the training, perhaps teaching or working in a nonprofit organization where they can give their skills or they can.
Absolutely.
But again, we're talking about obviously looking at finances differently because clearly if you're going to start a business, you have to have money to start a business. Or
you have to have money. But remember, you don't need a lot of money to start a business. My model is that do what you love and the money will ultimately follow.
And that's for some businesses, but if you're talking about a franchise, you're going to need more money than that. But yeah, that's another program.
That's right. But you could start small though. You don't have to reach for a big finance that type of organization franchise in order to get started. You can start very small. And work your way. If the goal is to eventually at some point get into a franchise, you can work your way to that. But you can do some things right now on your plate, such as you're in your 50s, like you were talking about, you've been let go. You could look around the home and say, okay, I have so much material things in this home. Why don't I have a yard sale? Why don't I go around the house, see what I don't need anymore.
Right. So that's a great way to generate cash. That's good. Yep.
That might be the first seed money for that little business.
Okay, all righty.
Okay,
so again, we're talking about the options that people can have. Now, let me talk about someone who really wants to work for another company, where they don't want to start a business or they want to do it part-time. Maybe they want to teach, but they just want to do that part-time, but they're still really looking for that 9-to-5 income. What, if we're looking at it from a financial point of view, how would you advise that person, again, in their baby boomer years, as they're pursuing another career path or another job from a financial perspective, Lurie Davis?
I think this is one of the great times to really seek out professional help, such as somebody as myself, a financial planner, who could give you some direction as to some things to consider based on the current resources that you have, because what you always want to do is to analyze. You want to take your position and say, okay, where am I today? So you're going to analyze your particular place where you are, look at your finances where you are. Once you've analyzed, then you want to put some strategies in place.
Mm-hmm.
Once you put those strategies in place, then you want to take action. Mm-hmm. I think taking action is probably the most critical part of most things in life.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people procrastinate, but I believe if you take action, even if you've taken small steps,
so maybe it's a matter of setting up a new kind of budget for yourself so that you are eliminating as much expense as possible while you're in this period of transition. Would that not be a good first step?
That is an excellent, excellent step, because stop spending is a critical part of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get yourself to the point where you've analyzed your expenses and you've analyzed the income that is coming in, it might mean that, okay, the cable company I might have to call and lower the type of service that I have for cable.
Right.
I can't have all of the bells and whistles on the cable channel.
I cut off the movies, a lot of the movies that
there
I
you go.
On demand. Yep.
That is correct. And then the other one is your cell phone. You might decide, instead of having the big plan for your cell phone, maybe you can lower it to 450 minutes a month, because that's all that you're using anyway.
Which I have too.
So you're right on target.
You work around, and sometimes you wait until 9 o'clock, because that's when the minutes, you know, are you going to your nighttime minutes, and then you can call some people in different parts of the country at 9 p.m. versus calling them at 6 p.m. on prime time. So those
that
are great.
That is correct.
Use them.
That is
so
correct.
What you're saying is that we're talking about some basic training and basic financial surviving skills that can reduce your expenses on your budget sheet. What I have found, and you've probably found this too, Lurie, is that from a business point of view, if you're a business person, we're out here generating the revenues, but the expenses, if you're not careful, will just keep up with the rate of inflation, should I say. So you can make a lot of money or you can do well, but if you don't do anything to curb those expenses, they can just eat away at your profits or eat away at your revenue stream.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to backdrop now, and I want to go to younger people. We've gone to the seniors, and we haven't really covered those who have already retired. We'll maybe talk about them in a minute. But what about those who are either young adults or just graduating from college, getting their first job, those who are just starting out in life and maybe they've been working for 10 years or less? Give us some financial advice for that age group.
For this age group, I think it's a great opportunity to start a business. I'm a big business entrepreneur believer because I think most individuals just getting out of college, they have the ability to create wealth. You know, a time when we look at wealth, just because they're young with the time, there are mainly three, I would say, major items that are considered with anything that you're doing with financial planning and wealth creation. One is the life stage. Where are you at right now in your life stage? And those three critical life stage areas is 20s to 30s, 40s to 50s, and then 60s and above.
Mm-hmm.
where are you at your life stage? The second critical part of that financial planning is risk tolerance. What is your risk tolerance? Is it low, moderate, or high? Risk tolerance that you have.
Give us an example of risk tolerance.
Sure. Let's say you today got a check in the mail for $50,000.
Okay.
And you're trying to decide, okay, where should I place that $50,000? Now, you might come to a financial planner like myself and say, okay, Lurie, I've heard about XYZ stock. Mm-hmm. I want you to take this $50,000 and place into that stock. Mm-hmm. I would not do that for you.
Interesting. Huh. Why not?
Because I need to ask some critical questions.
Okay.
One of them is, what is your risk tolerance? Are you a low risk taker? Are you a moderate risk taker? Or are you a high risk taker?
All right.
So if you're a low risk taker, you should not be investing in stock.
Okay.
Stock is too aggressive and too volatile.
Mm-hmm. Especially
the
now.
Yes, absolutely. And the last part of the financial planning aspect is the time horizon. What kind of time do you have that you need to get your hands back on this $50,000? Do you need it mm-hmm. within a year? Do you need it in 5 years? Do you need it in 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who have money that they place into the stock market that should not be there.
Huh.
Because they haven't
answered some of those questions. We know the stock market has been very volatile over the last 2 years or so, and the returns are not what they were in 2006 or so. So that's food for wise people just to be very careful how you invest your money. And I would also probably add to that it wouldn't be a good idea to take a check of that size, or whether it's $50,000 or $5,000, and put all that in one instrument. Is that correct, Lurie?
It all depends, Carol. No two people or no family is identical in terms of the issues that they are facing mm-hmm. at any given moment. So there's some critical questions that a financial planner has to ask of the family to get a profile of the family so that we can see what the goals and objectives are, because mm-hmm. everybody has different objectives that they're trying to obtain.
Right.
So depending on what the goals and objectives that the family is trying to obtain, that's going to decide where the money should go. Take, for example, you had mentioned about young people.
Right.
Most young people have a desire to own a home.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to do that within the next, let's say, 2 to 3 years,
okay.
they should not place this money into the stock market.
Right.
This money should go into a money market type of instrument. You know,
okay.
in a savings account, a CD, a money market account. But it mm-hmm. should not go into the stock market, because in 3 years, they need to be able to go and pull that money and use it towards the purchase of that home.
Okay.
So
and
for
what
young
about, let's say someone who already, let's say young people who are in their early 30s, mid-30s, they already have purchased their first home and they get this check, and they've already started their family, so let's say they have two children and the family is complete. How would you give them advice from that point of view, again, with this check of either $5,000 or $50,000?
Okay. For most people, I'm always looking to see what kind of debt that they have on their plate.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that all of my clients, we get rid of the debt
mm-hmm.
off of their plate. A lot of young people, because of their educational experience, have gone and they've racked up a lot of student loan debt.
Oh, yeah.
And they might decide, okay, should I focus on paying off the student loan debt, or should I go and buy a Gucci handbag?
Mm. Well, we know what that answer is going to be. But tell us, Lurie, what would that answer be?
Well, if they've not spent time with somebody like myself, it would be the Gucci handbag.
But what would be the practical right answer for that, Lurie?
That would be to put that money towards the student loan and pay
okay.
off the student loan.
And, you know, that's a real relevant point, just because there are many, many young people out here who have graduated from some of the finest institutions in the world. Certainly if they're in the United States, they've paid for it. And you're right. I mean, it's difficult with young people because they have dreams and aspirations. They want to do well. They want to start their family or continue their family. And student loans can be an absolute burden on the shoulders of young people. It was a burden on the Obama's shoulders until maybe six
right.
years ago. So they even had to face this. So, again, give us some more information, concrete information about trying to reduce that kind of very large loan that young
sure,
people.
Sure. I think there's great ways, there's great things that you can do when you have debt. One of the things we're always debating, okay, should you focus on the high interest rate debt or the low balanced accounts?
Mm-hmm.
For most individuals, dependent on the profile, like I said, you really can't answer that question until you really spend some time with the individual, with the family, to get an idea of what some of the main critical issues are. Because with money, money has behavior issues attached to it,
yeah.
Such as things that worked, that took place as a child,
mm-hmm.
that really set the model for the way in which you relate to money today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it can become very complex in terms of where you are in your life, adult stage of life right now, and how you relate to money and what you choose to do with money once you get that money on your plate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when we look at the debt, you can line the debt up, look at all of the balances that
mm-hmm.
you have, and I always say line them up based on the lowest balance to the highest balance, just to get an
okay.
idea of what you have on your plate.
All right.
Then you want to take a look at the interest rate that
okay.
you are actually being charged
mm-hmm.
on the debt. You want to see for credit cards what's the purchase interest rate
mm-hmm.
and also what the cash interest
rate. They're different. Typically, cash is higher.
Absolutely.
Right.
Usually about, 30%?
Yeah, quite high.
In this environment that we're in right now?
Mm-hmm.
So the question comes, okay, what should I attack first?
Right.
What you always want to do is to select either, depending on your circumstances, the highest interest rate,
mm-hmm.
credit card to attack, or the lowest balance. There's a lot of individuals who have different thoughts about that.
Okay.
Get the lowest balance one, some might say, first, because then it lets you know that you've had some success
mm-hmm.
of paying off a low balance credit card, and then you can see you've got momentum, and you can continue to the next
right.
credit card.
It's a good psychological boost for you.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. But in order to get a profile, because unfortunately a lot of people do not want to deal with the reality of the amount of debt that they have accumulated out there.
Sure, it can be shocking.
Absolutely. There are some large numbers out there in terms of what people have for debt on their plate. And the sad part about that is student loan debt with the amount of students who leave college with large amounts of credit card debt as well as student loan debt.
Their student loan, right. So, I mean, you're using a very practical approach and one, it takes discipline. What you're saying, not only working with a professional like you, Lurie Davis, but it takes the discipline of really figuring out your entire cash asset structure, liability structure, debt structure, and then moving from that point of view instead of doing it from bits and pieces. Like, it's easier to do it with bits and pieces versus looking at the whole pie.
That's right. I think when I look at the bigger picture, I try to get clients to focus on the net worth.
Mm-hmm.
What is the net worth of the family? Do we have a negative net worth? Or do we have a positive? Most people are more focused on, okay, my income is $150,000. That's what I gross. That's what my employer tells me that I make. But
mm-hmm.
what I take home from the net is totally different of what you have to spend.
Right.
So most people are spending at that $150,000 level,
versus
when in reality, they should be focused on the net.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would probably add, too, that this is where if you had a side business, there are deductions that could be used to offset the taxes that you're paying and could probably elevate your net income. So, I mean, that again, that's another conversation, but that is another reason why small businesses can really matter and can be beneficial to those who need to have some kind of income reduction or at least income tax reduction.
That's correct, and that's important, Carol, because when you look at what's happened with real estate in the country, a lot of individuals who've been foreclosed on, also who might have had investment property, who no longer have the investment property to take some type of tax write-off, when you now look at being able to do that now with this, this would be a great way to have something to write off with the business to offset some of that the income that is coming in.
Right. What about, I want to now switch gears and talk about the people in the 40 to 60s. We talked about, I talked about 50s to 60s, but there's a very important element of our society in their 40s. They're established. They may or may not have children. They probably have elderly parents that they're caring for. They're caught in the middle. They still have to work. You know, they're stressed. What are you looking at, or how are you advising people in that age category in their 40s who are just, they have a full plate?
Well, Carol, one of the things that I do every morning, I take a walk to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Come rain or shine, snow, you name it, I take a walk to the beach. And the reason that I do that is I wake up and I spiritually clear my mind.
Okay.
Because I think we are so focused on we got this to do and our plates are so full. When do we take time out for ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
So I start my day off like that every morning, take a little time out for myself, clear my mind, walk on the beach, then I come back into my office. I'm blessed because I get to work from home,
okay,
out of my office in the house, which
right.
I also am blessed because the beach is only 2 blocks away.
Not bad.
So I can take my walk, clear my mind, and then come back with, I believe, a clear focus.
All right. So again, we're here at this 40-year-old who may or may not have an opportunity to take that walk in the morning, but they have to go to work every day. What kind of financial advice, generically so, would you give this person or this couple who are in this age category but certainly have many responsibilities on their shoulders?
Okay. I would say one of the important things is at this stage of life, you've got to be willing to face everything head on and be willing to make some changes.
Okay.
This is a great time to look at everything that you're doing. If you really feel that things are not moving in the direction that you had planned, it's mm-hmm. not a bad time to now refocus and make some changes that you might want to make on your plate.
Okay. And I guess the goal in that would be to ultimately reduce your expenses and get yourself in line for, I know some people where if they are laid off or if they have any kind of job interruption, they don't hiccup because they've done that. They've actually taken your advice. Their lives are in balance. They financially are in alignment so that they can have gaps in time, employment gaps in time where they're not hiccuping or they become desperados after maybe a couple of weeks?
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm always focused on with all of my clients is what is the health? What is the wealth? If we have the health and the wealth, then we're going to have some happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the client. I want them to be honest and face everything head on, be very truthful with what they're actually dealing with at this stage of life. There are some serious considerations that they have to, like you talked about with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
There is a possibility that your parents might have to be placed into a nursing or assisted living facility.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make that choice is very difficult to mm-hmm. make that choice. You mm-hmm. might have to reach out to a professional to help you make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
this is a great time to always try to reach out for others to try to help. I think it's critical to have a team. I always call it my team. You should have a support team of individuals that you can call on, even in the financial area, because I always look at, even with dealing with money, you have to have a financial team. You do not want to have negative spirited individuals on your team.
Okay.
As well as negative individuals in your life. You want to make sure that you put positive individuals on your team.
So this is like an accountability team or a team that can help you to make some life decisions and life choices, including financial decisions too.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
So again, so you, what you've said is you're talking about the individuals making some serious decisions, and oftentimes people in their 40s will switch gears. They'll enter into a new career path, or they'll start that business, but doing it in a way where you can do it with a clear head, but also perhaps setting up, it's almost like a board of directors, having a board of directors in your life where they provide you with the right kind of information and knowledge to move ahead. Lori Davis, what about, let's switch all the way back to young people in, let's say, high school. Give us a sense of the advice you can give to young people who are coming out of high school, going into either a trade or college. What advice would you give them financially as they're preparing for their lives?
One of the things I always try to tell my clients, even my wealthy clients, is that I do not want them to pay 100% of their child's college educational expenses. I want at some point the junior year or the senior year of college for the college student to go out and do internships, yes.
Okay.
To do
all
an
right.
internship. Or to get a job. This is a great time to be looking out and getting a job, getting some resources on their plate. An internship is a great thing that they should take advantage of, even if the family does have a lot of money, because you want to start building up your skills as well as your relationships with individuals, so that when you do get out there on the job market, you've already got some individuals you can call on.
Okay.
To try to help you navigate your way into the profession that you might want to go into. But also, at this stage of life, it is a great time to be looking at some of the investment vehicles that are out there on the market for you to take advantage of. When you're in high school, that is a great time to start a Roth IRA account. That Roth IRA account, you could have, let's say, a part-time job. At McDonald's or mowing the lawn. The Roth IRA allows you to put in 100% of those dollars into the Roth account, and you can put as much as $5,000 in that account. A young person starting out at 15 would definitely most likely become a multimillionaire.
Interesting.
Because of the compound effect of how money compounds with time. And if you allow that money to stay there, because whenever money is placed anywhere, compound effect as well as the time issue is set with that money that allows it to grow over a long period of time, and those dollars will definitely grow. And I always tell people, don't so much look at the daily ins and outs of, let's say, the Dow Jones or the stock market.
Right.
The market was up today. The market was down today. You have to set your goals and objectives, and especially if you have a long-term horizon, let's say over 10 years, you don't panic. You place the money where you placed it so that the money can grow, and ultimately the money will be there for you for the goal that you intended initially.
So even a 15-year-old here, I'm just sort of following your logic here, even a 15-year-old can begin an investment strategy, leaving that money in every year, you know, parking money elsewhere for their own college expenses or whatever, but that money can be a nest egg for them going forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's interesting because, and again, I'm going back to your business theme. When we look at Facebook, we look at some YouTube, you look at some of the other businesses that were started by, in some cases, college dropouts. I'm not encouraging anybody to drop out of college, but they were started by young people, you know, in their either late teens or in their early 20s, and now some of these same companies, these young people are billionaires in some cases. It's just incredible. So what you're saying is that there are options and there are opportunities out here that young people can take advantage of, and God knows youth sometimes is wasted on the young. There's so much out there, so many opportunities. It's probably a matter of not limiting your possibilities, and but always having a plan in mind and making sure that you're not overspending.
That's correct. And I think when you look at children, I even say start earlier than in their teens, Carol, even young children, you know, elementary stage, it's mm-hmm. The foundation that you set for the family, especially with children, because remember, children are going to model after the parents. And
right.
depending on what kind of experience the parents have had with money, that's the model they're going to follow. So mm-hmm. if you can teach your children early on, I know with my son, when he gets any amount of money, you know, let's say for his birthday, he cleaned up. He got like well over $200.
Nice.
For his birthday. And
how
so
old
I said,
how old is he?
He's 11 years old.
All right. That's great.
So I didn't even have to say anything to him. He just said, okay, this is what we're going to do here, Dad. Okay, I just want $5. I said, are you sure? That's it? Just five. Give me $5. Put the other amount in my college fund.
Wow. He's learning very early.
You got it. Absolutely.
That's great.
We've always taught him, okay, whenever you get a dollar, save 50% of that. And if you want to spend the other 50%, go right ahead.
That's great advice, great advice. Now, what about those as we're closing, and we're going to give Lori's information in just a minute or so. What about those who either are retired, are near retired, or maybe they've had to go back to work because their retirement pay is just not cutting the mustard with all their expenses? How would you advise those seniors who are looking at their golden years?
Well, at every stage, I always believe that you have to plan. You also have to analyze your current situation to see and get a profile of, okay, this is where I am at right now. I'm here. I have these aspirations. These are some of the goals and objectives. Let's say you want to take a trip to Paris. You've always wanted to go to Paris,
mm-hmm.
But you believe that you do not have the resources to go to Paris. It might mean, okay, I'm going to go to Walmart, get a part-time job, and work for a year.
Okay.
Accumulate what I need for my trip to Paris,
mm-hmm.
and I'm off to Paris.
So those wonderful older people that I see at Walmart welcoming us when we come in the front door, maybe they're saving for their trip to Paris.
That's absolutely correct. But the reality, though, is in the economy that we are in right now, there's going to be larger numbers of seniors who have to. They have no choice.
Right.
To stay out in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And to work. But I would say that right now is a great time to save and start saving. I've always believed that no matter what amount of money that one makes, one has to pay themselves. They have to pay themselves first.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, on a monthly basis, make sure that you are setting aside a certain amount of dollars for yourself in an account, very conservative account, you know, a savings account, checking account, or a money market account, where at least you pay yourself first. Then I say next is give to charity,
mm-hmm.
and then consider all the other expenses.
Yeah,
so do those two first things first.
Yeah, that's always good advice. And when we talk about seniors and even any age category, we haven't even talked about health issues. That's another conversation, and certainly can complicate stopgap and redirect people just because health issues are huge in this country. Thank goodness we've passed a health bill, and that will begin to address some of these issues going forward. But in the meantime, you know, it certainly can be quite a stumbling block for a lot of individuals. Lori, give us your contact information, how people can get in touch with you.
Okay, sure. I do. You can go to my website. The website is luriedavis.com. That's L-U-R-I-E, Davis, D-A-V-I-S.com. Or they can call us at 781-595-0396. If you want to send an email, you could send it to Lou, L-O-U, at luriedavis.com.
All right, that's super. And in closing, give us some closing thoughts about walks on the beach, doing the planning, paying yourself first, putting aside an amount of money as you are looking at maybe that big fat check that comes your way. Give us some closing points and some closing tips for our listeners, Lurie Davis.
Sure. I would say that one of the best things that you could do for yourself, I consider it a gift, is to reach out to a professional, someone such as myself. No matter what where you are, I work with millionaires as well as those who aspire to become millionaires. As long as you plan and you stay focused and you stay positive, anything is possible, because I'm a big possibility person.
Oh,
as
yeah.
long as you set the seed, you will be able to move in the direction that you want to move in. Do not let anything that's going on in your environment, such as in the economy or in the world, stop you from planning and taking the baby steps that you need to take in order to get the results that you want to receive.
That is such great advice. Planning and taking baby steps can be applicable to someone who's just getting started with their financial planning needs or starting off with their work life, or someone who is ending it or having to look at maybe some part-time income as their years wind up. Lurie Davis, thank you so much for being a guest on my program. Been a delight, and we'll definitely
have
you back.
It's been my pleasure, Carol.
Great. Take care now. Thank you. All right. Well, you've gotten the advice from the expert, and it's always sometimes a bitter pill to swallow, but such important information we all need to hear, and we're going to have to just every now and then with our empowered listeners just bring you back to reality, base one, square one, so that we can all look at our finances and figure out where we need to go collectively and certainly individually. Well, I'm going to shift gears and take you back one last time to the World Cup. I just enjoyed the whole experience, and I'll share with you why I enjoyed it so much. And in keeping with the music that I've played for the last couple of weeks, as we looked at World Cup and the different countries that have been involved, the winning match was won by Spain this past Sunday. They actually beat the Netherlands. It was quite a wow game. And to celebrate their win, I want to play, it's going to be about a minute or so, I want to play the Spanish national anthem for you right now. Congratulations, Spain. Majestic song. I just love that national anthem. I think periodically we're going to continue to play national anthems for you, because certainly those of us in the United States, yes, we know our own, yes, we love our own, but so often we don't know the national anthems of other countries. So we salute Spain, we played South Africa, we played Swaziland a couple of weeks ago, and so we will introduce you to different parts of the world by playing different national anthems from time to time. But there was a great game on Saturday. I had actually go to a cookout, a going-away cookout for a very dear friend, Shirley Hunter, who is moving to South Africa. She's going to be the Chief Financial Officer for USAID, and we had a wonderful gathering for her on Sunday, and it was supposed to have been on Saturday, but they had to switch it because of the weather that we had here. We had lots of flooding and lots of rain on Sunday in the Boston area, and I attended, but I said, I'm going, but you have to have World Cup on. So I had fun with my friends, but also enjoyed watching that really thrilling game, a game that ended in overtime, the second overtime. Finally, Spain scored the one goal of the entire match, and they beat the Netherlands. It was such a bitter defeat for Wesley Sneijder, who is one of the star players on the Netherlands team. And the other players, I understand that one of our news broadcasters on the Today Show, Matt Lauer, is married to a woman from the Netherlands, and so their whole household was draped in orange, and it was quite probably a stunning defeat for them to see that game and to see it go to the other side of Spain. But certainly Spain deserves it, Spain and the Netherlands were considered underdogs coming into the World Cup. Spain, I think it's now the first team to have lost their first game in World Cup and then to end up winning the World Cup, so they've set a new record from that perspective. But it was just really thrilling, and I would have loved to have just been in the audience in Madrid on, that was probably Monday or Tuesday, when they finally flew in town and they had that huge parade, I believe it was on Tuesday, in the streets of Madrid, to see the sights and to see all the excitement. I think it's all the festivities and the excitement and the celebration, and most importantly, this game bringing people together. I think this game, more than any other game, is a real unifier, and from a multicultural perspective, that's what I see out of World Cup, and that's why I think World Cup is so exciting. Even in Spain, they're having regional issues, which apparently go back decades to the era of Franco, and this game, again, has unified the country like no other. So it has certainly brought people together from different parts of the world cheering on their particular team. I've said it for the last 4 or 5 weeks now since World Cup has taken place. World Cup, from my perspective, is the only event, the only unifying event that brings an entire nation together to celebrate and cheer on one team, one sport in one event. Very different from the Olympics. The Olympics, again, you have the best of the best in the parts of the world, but you're playing different games at the Olympics. So you have team games, you have individual sports, a whole variety of them, and it's not the unified spirit that I see with World Cup. And again, from a global perspective and a multicultural perspective, that I think is just outstanding. So I have enjoyed every game that I watched, all the replays that I took part of. I learned an awful lot, and I just felt closer to the world by being in that mix, so much so that going forward, I plan on doing what I can to somehow get involved in the 2014 games that are going to take place in Brazil. Would love to be down there at least some part during those activities. But in the meantime, in the next 4 years, there's an awful lot that can take place to help Americans to appreciate the game of soccer, not to denigrate any of the other great sports that we have, but to appreciate it more. One thing, I was a little troubled by some of the announcers and the reporters when they would report on some of the playoff games, the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and some of the teams, and they would just sort of make fun of it and mockingly talk about soccer and the fact that, oh, it's such a boring game and you have such a low-scoring game, without understanding that soccer is really a head game. It is an amazing head game where one team and all that running, all that energy, typically will take advantage of the other team and take advantage of the mistakes of the other team. So it is a very intriguing psychological look at team sports, gamesmanship, and typically those teams have to work together in order to have a score to be made, a goal to be made. So there's an awful lot that businesses can use looking at the game of soccer or football, and certainly looking at World Cup. Another perspective that I loved with World Cup was the fact that they had this anti-discrimination day. This was a whole couple of days set aside during the quarterfinals where they openly denounced racism. I think Mel Gibson needs to hear that. You should have seen my blog talking about him and his ranting and raving, where they just said no to racism. They had some commercials on during World Cup, but this particular week, they actually had all the teams that were playing to have their captain to read a statement in their language against denouncing racism and denouncing discrimination. I thought that was quite well done, and I commend FIFA for doing that. If you're also interested, thank you very much, Garth Dallas, my partner in Liverpool, England. We talked this week, and he talked to me and shared this resource. If you're interested in other aspects of how some of these country leagues and regions are addressing multicultural issues, there's one called www.kickitout, that's K-I-C-K, it, the I-T, O-U-T, .org, kickitout.org. These are the English leagues, the leagues in England, and it was started by a very famous person in England who saw the need to really address multicultural issues, diversity issues, and making sure that racism was not a part of football or the sport in the United Kingdom. So it's a great way. They have an annual report that you can download, and you can really see how they are addressing it. And this is also being addressed with FIFA and other parts around the world. So, again, I like the fact that they're addressing these diversity issues and multicultural issues and tying it in with young people all the way up to the adults who are playing the game. Hats off to Paul the Octopus. That was amazing. Paul is apparently an octopus that entertains children in the aquarium. Typically, he was used for he's a German octopus, and he was predicting the games that were played by Germany in the World Cup. He corrected projected all of them correctly, and then went all the way and predicted the fact that Spain was going to beat the Netherlands. So. Yeah, funny things have happened that octopus is quite celebrated now, and even someone said there were death threats against him because he didn't pick the Netherlands. But be that as it may, there was a lot of antic, a lot of play about Paul the octopus. Big shout-out, lastly, so, to South Africa for the job that they did hosting the World Cup, right down to their president, Jacob Zuma. All of their leaders, the country itself should be commended for stepping aside the issues of their past, the political issues, the economic issues that they face, and stepping up to the world plate to host the World Cup. I was very proud of the job that they did, the fact that even though their team didn't make it out of the qualifying roles in terms of the round of 16, et cetera, they didn't get to that level, but they certainly hosted these games with a lot of class. So hats off to the country of South Africa. Hats off to the people of Africa. We are so saddened by what happened in Uganda with the bombing that took place last Sunday, unfortunately connected with Al-Qaeda. We hope that those perpetrators will be found and will be prosecuted, and certainly feel very badly for the death of those 70-plus people who died in Uganda as a result of that bombing. Also very saddened by Nelson Mandela's family and what happened to his great-granddaughter at the very beginning of World Cup. So we had those tragedies. Unfortunately, those things, that's a part of our life as well, but we want to celebrate what took place with World Cup, and I just want to say thank you so much for the... that I got as a result of listening and watching those games and listening to all the music, the fanfare, the vuvuzelas, and just adoring fans from around the world. I do hope that the United States will step up to the plate, be big, be bold, be courageous, and really embrace soccer or football, as many people call it, for the game and the sports that it is. It is a wonderful sport, and I certainly plan on following it because I see so much tie-in with the work that I do. I hope that you have a great week or weekend. Come back next week. We have a wonderful show planned for you with Peggy Duncan talking about organizational tips. Have a great week or weekend, and we'll see you next week.